everyone. Welcome to another morning devotion with Brother Mark, where we are walking together on our walk with Christ. Today is September the 2nd, 2021. You know, in the early days of this podcast, my intro was walking with you on your walk with Christ. The thought was, and really the reason I began this podcast, was to help younger Christians grow in their walk with Christ. But however, as we've continued on, I'm now sharing my walk with Christ with you. Sometimes you'll see the text that I read that day will be what drives the podcast, or maybe I'll share from a book I'm reading. No matter the source, in this podcast, you're able to see what God is doing in my life. Today I want to share what I'm learning from the book Gentle and Lowly. I have mentioned it a couple of times. Today, the chapter that we're going to talk about is commenting on Exodus 34. Moses asked God to show him his glory. That's found in Exodus 33:18. And when God is going to show Moses his glory, God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock and passes by him. And when God passes by, what is the glory which is shown? How does God show him his glory? Does God show glory Moses his strength or his power or his judgment? Those are the normal things that we've been thinking about when we see the glory of God or we think of the glory of God. No, that's not what he shows. Exodus 34, 6 through 8. God shows Moses his glory. And he shows him his glory in that he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy. And we could go on and read. But, you know, what I want to talk about today is that's not my natural assumption of the glory of God. That's not how I've been taught to view God. I've been taught to view God, first and foremost, as one who hates sin. One who will bring judgment upon sin. And my view of God has been shaped as viewing him as vengeful, angry, and just. Now, he is all of those things. However, we need to see that God is also merciful, forgiving, gracious, long-suffering, good. God is complex. And he's complex and transcendent enough that he can be all of those things perfectly. He can be just and vengeful. He can be good and merciful. All of those things at the same time. In order to help you see how my view of God is being reshaped, let me read to you a quote from the book on page 151. And it says this. The Christian life, from one angle, is the long journey of letting our natural assumption about who God is over many decades fall away, being slowly replaced with God's own insistence on who he is. This is hard work. It takes a lot of sermons and a lot of suffering to believe that God's deepest heart is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Now that's kind of different than how I viewed the heart of God. But this book is helping me to see the heart that Christ has for me, the heart that Christ has for sinners, the heart that Christ has for those who are suffering. He has a heart of love and mercy and grace. Now the author of this book is using men like John Owen and Jonathan Edwards as his instructors. And he's teaching the reader how to view the heart of God as one who loves, is merciful and gracious, even slow to anger with his people. God's first impulse is to be merciful. God's first impulse is to be gracious. Now, this doesn't excuse sin, because even in the text in Exodus 34:8, God reveals to Moses that he will visit iniquity unto the third and fourth generations. But still, a change of heart, understanding God is necessary. And a change of understanding of the heart of God leads to not only our natural assumptions falling away, but also to a key change in our lives as Christians. Another quote in the book says this: "Perhaps Satan's greatest victory in your life today is not the sin which you regularly indulge, but the dark thoughts of God's heart that cause you to go there in the first place and keep you cool to Him in the wake of it." So when the natural assumption that God is angry at you falls away, you'll be able to see the reality is that God loves you. Now, as I considered that, I thought about how that this natural inclination to see God as angry, as vengeful, keeps us at an arm's distance from God. It keeps us from loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It keeps a little uneasiness between us and God, because I'm afraid to go too close to God because He's angry at my sin, or I'm afraid that to have too good a relationship because I'm afraid I might do something and mess up the relationship, and I'm afraid God might be angry at me. But see, when this natural assumption of God falls away, and we begin to see that God is first and foremost merciful, loving, and forgiving, and good, we'll be able to see that He loves us. We'll see His first reaction to us is mercy, that He will show grace, that He will forgive. And really, His words, "Come unto me, you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest," they gain more meaning to us because we see God saying, "Come," not, "Hey, you're a sinner, stay away," but "Come to me." You know, it put me in mind as I was writing this devotion of myself as a dad. You know, I have two adult children, and the type of relationship that I wanted to build with them was that I wanted them to always be willing to come to me no matter the circumstance in which they found themselves. I wanted them to know that even though I might be disappointed with their decisions and the circumstances in which they find themselves, I love them. I want to help them overcome their difficulty and work through their circumstances. I never want them to think that Dad doesn't want to be concerned about my life. Want to be concerned about the circumstances I found myself in. I've messed up too much to go to Dad and ask for help. I want them to know that no matter what, my love for them will never waver. And I'm coming to realize that that's the same type of relationship which we have with the Father. When we do wrong, God may be disappointed with us, but He still loves us. He still wants us to come to Him so that we might find rest for our souls. And you know, as a pastor, I need to learn the same thing. I need to have the same spirit towards the flock over which the Lord has made me an overseer. I might be disappointed with them, but I still love them, and I still want to help them work through their situation. And I guess they need to see the same thing out of me, that even though I might be disappointed in them, that I still love them and I want to help them. Anyway, this is a new thing. This is a better thing. This helps my heart grow in love towards God, and I pray it will help your heart grow in love towards God as the natural assumptions that you might have towards God fall away, and you begin to see Him through a heart of that His heart for you is love, mercy, grace, long suffering, goodness. That's how we need to view God. I hope it makes a difference in your life today. Let's pray. Today, Lord, as we come to You in prayer, we ask that You would help us to see who You are. I pray that our natural assumptions would fall away. Help us to see Your glory in Your mercy, grace, long-suffering, and goodness. Help us to see a complete picture of who You are. Lord, I also pray that we would not take advantage of Your goodness. Help us to understand that You will visit iniquity. Grant to us confession of sin so that we may be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Help us to be filled with Your love today. Thank You for showing us Your love in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Hope this is a blessing. Until tomorrow, this is Brother Mark signing off.